This is Social Media Simplified, the podcast that takes the guesswork out of using social media to build your audience and increase your exposure on the web. Join us as a social media scholar for exclusive tips, tactics, and strategies to create content, market your brand, and much more. Let's do this. Hey, all you social media scholars, welcome to Social Media Simplified. I'm Nathan Garrett, your digital dynamo.
And I'm Lante Tacona, your collaboration connoisseur.
And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to take your idea and actually build on it. And we're going to reveal the key to destroying procrastination.
Procrastination.
Yes.
Yes.
That is a topic we talk about a lot, huh?
Absolutely. I experience it a lot.
So what, give me an example of something recently you've been struggling with. Why are you procrastinating?
I've gone through phases, call it, in my life. Specifically, the one I'm talking about now is going to the gym. So there's times when I go to the gym and I'm 100% on it. Like every day, I'm in there, routines, and I'm just like a machine. I'm going at it. But then sometimes I get into slumps where I just stop going to the gym all the way together. And I think about that sometimes, and I wonder, you know, like, what is it that's keeping me from doing this? Or why didn't I go to the gym today? So last week, actually, my gym bag, I usually hang it on the back of my door. So it's right there. It's ready to go. Most of the time, it's already packed. The only thing that's not in there is my shaker for the protein shakes. And so for the past few months, actually, I was just thinking about last week, but the past few months, actually, I'd tell myself, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm 100% going to go to the gym. But I'd get up in the morning, I'd eat my breakfast, you know, I'm rushing them out of the door, and I just don't grab my bag. You know, I just don't do it. I just walk right past it. I think, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And actually, it wasn't until you asked me, you know, when the last time I went to the gym. I was like, well, you know, I guess I'm just not ready. My bag's not, you know, packed. And I was like, my bag is packed. He's like, well, what's not in there? I was like, well, it's my shaker bottle. And I was like, but it's in the cabinet. But it's not only the shaker bottles in the cabinet. It's the little, like, metal ball that goes inside. I'm not even sure if that's in it. So I don't even want to look for it. So I'm just not going to go to the gym, right?
What a leap. What a leap.
So it's procrastinating, right? And I'm saying this all to say is, you know, that these are the stories, right, that we tell ourselves when it comes time to when we are procrastinating and when we're trying to pacify our procrastination or justify our procrastination. Mm-hmm. So actually after I verbalized that to you, I kind of thought, I was like, wow, that's stupid. Let me go get that little shaker bottle, put
stories,
it in my bag,
right?
and go in there, right? And so you know, I guess sometimes it's not necessarily straight just being lazy, call it, but a lot of times there's also a lot of things going on, right, in our minds, and we're thinking about other things, and that's just one more task that we have to do outside of whatever's consuming us.
Yeah.
So that's where I struggle with procrastination. What about you?
Yeah, man, that was a good point about the gym. Yeah, I've actually struggled with that as well. There's what I've noticed about procrastination is that, yes, you get in such good routines at certain points in your life. Like you said, you were going to the gym every day or every other day and really hitting it hard, and you were in this really good mode, this good routine. Then maybe you went on vacation, or maybe you had a really tough work week and you just weren't able to go at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe the next week is lighter,
mm-hmm.
but you're not going to the gym now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I see life in a lot of areas. I see life as they're just times of great momentum where you start and you're going and you're feeling good. And then there's times of great disruption where something disrupts that pattern. And getting back into that mode of momentum is hard to do.
Mm.
That's the thing. And that can apply to everything in life. I feel like life, a lot of it is just momentum.
Yeah.
You start, you have that motivation, and you go for a while, and then something disrupts it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're off your game a bit. And then when you want to get back to it, it's hard to get back in that momentum. Momentum's hard.
Yeah.
Right?
That's like you. I think you put it really well in an earlier conversation about it being like a sport, right? Like football. You know, have a really like burst, like focused moment of a burst of energy and
yep.
momentum, right? And then you stop.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you take a break, you regroup, and then you do it again. And then it's about being consistent, right?
Yes.
To consistently keep
going. That's why they call sports a game of runs, because that's what it really is. It's not, you're not going to be the entire game, if you, basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
The entire game, you're not going to be just making every shot, you know, playing the best on defense. That's not how sports work. In basketball, for example, a lot of teams have what they call a guy. His name is, he's a momentum shifter. That's his role.
Mm.
He's on the bench, right? Mm-hmm. He's not a starter. He's on the bench. The game is going on. Maybe the starters are out there, and they're just not looking good tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but they're not looking good. They'll take this guy off the bench to give him that spark they need. Then they'll go on a few runs. They get that momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll taper off a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll maybe throw him back out there again, and he'll give them that spark. That's how sports work. That's how life works, too, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and actually, speaking of that, that's I'm I guess, a little bit weird, non-traditional, but disrupting the routine, right, that pattern to get that spark, I do that a lot physically with things that are around me. So in order to get out of a slump, because that's a routine in itself, this positive side is, you know, the momentum, the runs, that's a routine, that's a
yes.
habit, right? The same thing goes for procrastination, where you're in this routine of inaction,
yes.
not doing anything.
Yes.
So a lot of times I have to change my environment to break the pattern. So, you know, my friends and yourself, you know, you guys always come over sometimes to my place and you're like, wow, you changed your house again,
mm-hmm.
right? Like your table is in your dining room now and your sofa is facing the other way and, you know.
Yeah. And your toilet's in your bedroom now. What's happening now?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I do that because when I'm in these slumps, right, I get into this routine of maybe coming home, opening the door, putting my keys on this shelf, putting my shoes right over there, sitting down on that side of the couch, and then my remote is right, everything is right there, and it lends me, you know, easy access to procrastinate, to sort of give into that routine.
Right.
And when I switch things around, it disrupts my routine. Now my table that I put my keys on is two steps further away.
Mm.
Or a really good one, I always tell people to do it, is your dish sponge and your soap, swap sides. Put that on the other side of the sink.
Mm.
And or your toothbrush. Put that in a different place in your bathroom.
Yeah.
And you'll see that, you know, you'll take a moment to, like, you get disrupted. You're like, you know, where are you come back to reality.
That's,
right,
that's fascinating, yeah.
So that sort of the analogy that you drew with the bench player, the momentum shifter.
That's his job, right?
That's exactly what I do, right, physically. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ways we can apply that in our lives. And for me lately, you asked me earlier about what I've been struggling with procrastination. Trying to think here, like, I run a business, and so each day, like, I really can't afford to procrastinate on a lot of stuff. And so there's things that I do to make sure I don't procrastinate.
Mm.
That's probably a better way to put it, where I know that there's potential to have to procrastinate.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is I always create a task list the night before. I think we talked about this on an early episode. But what I do is the first thing I do the next day, I always do the easiest thing.
Mm.
The smallest task possible, just to get that momentum going. It's all about momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can think of the smallest task you have to do that day, whatever it might be, maybe check an email or reply to an email.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you have to do to get started,
yeah,
definitely do it, because that will lead you to the next task and the next task, and all of a sudden you have momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of whiteboards. And typically I'll write my task list on my whiteboard. So at my office at work, I have a small whiteboard. At my house, I have a whole wall that's a whiteboard. And for one, it's nice to have a task list of things that you're supposed to accomplish. I make sure that on my list each day I have, or the day before, I have at least 3 to 5 actions.
Nice.
That I need to take. They're not necessarily the biggest things in the world. They're not necessarily the smallest things in the world. And it's not necessarily just work-related. One thing might be, okay, I need to buy some coffee, right? I need to pay a parking ticket.
Mm.
I need to send this email. And I need to schedule some meetings, right? And those are my task list. That's my task list. And I'd look at all those things. And because there's variety in it, it's not daunting. It's not all meetings or not all, like, groceries or all, you know, one thing or another. And it helps me to be able to pick one of those items and just check it off, because then I can erase it off my whiteboard.
Yes.
And I'd start with an easy one that I probably don't like a lot, like the parking ticket. It takes 5 seconds to go on the website, pay, which is what I hate doing it.
Right.
But once it's over, I'm like, okay, wow, now that's out of the way.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So, like,
it feels good to cross that off the list.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So it's about progression. And it's not necessarily about finishing all of those tasks, but it's setting out a game plan. and having a goal to achieve and time bound, right? You have a time bound deadline that you need to have that done by.
Yeah, that word you mentioned, progression. A lot of things are progression. If you can do it in small increments, right? Incremental progression. That's why you start with the smallest task. Mm-hmm. Maybe leave the biggest task for later. Because that biggest task, when you first wake up in the morning or when you start your day at work, you get there and you see that big task, there's no way you're going to do it. Right. That's the first thing you're going to do the day. I don't think so. Unless you're feeling really charged up that day. Yeah. Most people will not feel like getting that done.
Yeah.
But can you get? Can you reply to an email?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can. Can you make a phone call? I can.
Yeah.
Can you complete this, I don't know, this one-page document? Okay, now I can. Can you do this? You see, it's progressive,
right,
and it's incremental.
It's incremental, and I think that's key because that's where procrastination comes in. It's, you know, you set out this huge task, this huge goal that needs to be done. It's probably very important, but when you sit down to start working on it, you think like, oh, geez, like, I don't know where I want to start, or oh my gosh, like, you know, you start thinking about all these things, and next thing you know, you're maybe in emails, or you're on LinkedIn, or you're in Instagram,
Facebook, just, Instagram, oh my God, right.
And these are just like ways to kind of, you know, pacify that procrastination.
That is true.
You might start reading the news and say, well, I'm getting informed on the world, right?
Yeah, see,
but that you're procrastinating.
That's been my issue lately, honestly. To be honest, I got rid of Facebook and social or Instagram on my phone. I still have it, but I got rid of the apps because I noticed myself during tasks throughout the day just mindlessly being like, there's an obstacle in what I'm doing. And I'm like, and I just move right over and I open up Facebook. I'm like, that's not related at all. But you just naturally do because you don't want to do what's in front of you. And I got rid of it for that reason. And now my next vice is news. I just love to read the news. Mm. So if I'm in the middle of work and I don't want to do something, I notice myself opening that news app. I'm like, oh, I should probably learn about the world, see what's going on.
Right. I'm getting informed. It's all good
stuff.
Yeah,
that's just another way to escape.
Pacify.
And that's fine. You definitely should take breaks. Definitely take breaks from what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you're using that as a form of escaping a task because you don't want to do it, maybe break that task down a little bit further. Maybe do something else that's smaller.
Yeah.
You can get that momentum again, right? It's all about that series of momentum.
I think a lot of it is also being self-aware as well, like knowing that you're procrastinating, like the whole gym bag situation. I knew that I was procrastinating, and I enough to be able to articulate exactly what it was. It's the little ball inside of the cup that's keeping me from going to the gym, right? And I know it, but being self-aware and understanding like where you stand with that thing it's really important, especially when it comes to building on an idea, right? If you have a project or a business or an idea that you're working on, you have to understand yourself and the way that you work and the way that you operate. What makes you, what turns you on? Like, what makes you, you know, fire up? What depresses you or suppresses you or distracts you? What are those things? And start to pay attention to those things. That way you can work on yourself without having to take away from yourself, right? So, for example, the news thing, right? It's great. Read the news, absolutely. But it's when do I read the news, right? Yeah. Or like, when am I doing? Am I using it as an escape?
Yep.
Or am I using it to actually get informed, right?
Or what just is the taking purpose? A break if you enjoy doing it, like doing it on your break. Don't do it to escape a task you're trying to get done.
Yeah.
Now with the gym situation, I think we talked about this. What was one of the things you did to actually go? You took a smaller step, right, to actually make sure you go that day, or at least get toward going.
Yeah. So I didn't necessarily, you know, repack my bag or, you know, anything like that. Literally, once I thought about that, the little shaker ball. And
sure, yeah.
The next thing I did, I just walked over to the cabinet, pulled out the cup, and the shaker bottle was in it. The ball was in it. It was. And I just put that in my bag. Nice. Right? It was in the morning. It was like a random, you know,
so
afternoon.
It sounds so small and insignificant,
literally,
but it's really important, isn't
it? Put
it
in the bag, right? And then from there, now going to the gym isn't an issue. Now, as I'm rushing out of the door, I grab my whole bag and walk out. Because it's there, right? It's there now.
Yeah, I mean, even the next step could have been like, okay, I still don't want to go to the gym. Okay, I'll just put my bag in my car.
In my car,
so when you get out of the gym, right, or to get out of work, and you turn your car on, and you turn around, you're looking in the back seat, your bag is there.
Yes, right? Absolutely. And I think another thing that I do is also... not only putting it in my car, but conveniently the gym is in my office building.
Wow.
So
that's really
it's pretty bad, isn't
it?
But so what I did is, as not only did I put the bag in my car, but when I got to work, rather than going to my desk with my bag or leaving it in the car, I literally walked to the gym, put it in the locker.
Nice.
Right?
Next step.
And then went to my office. Yeah. Right? So that way, everything I need to be in the gym to get to the gym is already at the gym. I literally just have to walk and get there.
Yeah. I mean, some people listening to this right now might be laughing at these types of things, which it is, some of it is laughable.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, if you're not doing something and you know you want to get it done or needs to get done, you really need to break it up into the smallest steps, because that's how you gain that momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can say that, for example, and a lot of times, especially when you're building a business or an idea, you don't necessarily have you have the end in mind, but you don't know what that looks like.
Sure.
You don't know how long that's going to take. And
yeah.
Especially if it's something that hasn't been invented before, or if it's new to you, mm-hmm. you don't know what the end is going to be like. And so having that big goal as your main goal is difficult.
It's overwhelming.
It's not tangible, right?
It's overwhelming.
And what happens is we start to dwell on this idea, and we're thinking about it, and we're talking about it, but we're not moving the needle forward. We're not doing anything about it. So when you break things down into actionable things, what can I do right now?
Actionable
what can
steps.
I do today? Or what am I pushing off to tomorrow that I can actually do today?
Sure.
Those are the questions that you need to ask yourself. And if you can get small, very small incremental steps in, it's one step forward in the right direction
yeah.
versus standing still and thinking, articulating your dream, right?
Well, analysis paralysis is
analysis
what they call
paralysis.
It. You just think about it, think about it, think about it, and then actually nothing happens because you're paralyzed.
Mm.
Yeah, and a lot of these things, yeah, we can relate this back to starting a business, building a business. You have an idea. You've had an idea for a while. You've told your family about it. You've told your friends about it. You're very excited about it. And then you sit down one day and you're like, have I actually done anything to move this idea forward? And most likely the answer is no.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to talk about.
Right.
But actually doing it, committing to it, and actually getting started. Yeah, one, you might not know where to start.
Yep.
But
yep.
two, there might be also a lot of other things. Fear of commitment, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's other layers to stuff like that.
Mm. Now, just now that you're talking about that, other layers and things that might be stopping you. So we've talked about ourselves, right? Our own paralysis.
Sure.
And trying to, improve ourselves. But what about people who may be procrastinating on maybe moving an idea forward because they have another responsibility?
Hmm.
For example, a second job.
Okay.
Right? And maybe they're working that job so that they can then come back to their idea.
Sure.
So what are your thoughts on that sort of a scenario?
So if you're, as far as having a second job, well, I've had that plenty. I still do. With my agency, as I'm building it more, I still have a second job. I used to be an accounting tutor for years, and there's a company that hired me to record videos for them. And so they pay me per video, and it's very easy to do. So I can just do it at home. I do about 3 to 4 every single day, and they pay me for it. And so having that cash flow as you're trying to either build a business, or if you need just extra cash in general, having a part-time job is always a good decision, because you don't want to rely only on, if you're like creating a startup,
right,
for example. That takes cash flow. That takes capital up front. You might have to go into debt. We talked about debt on a previous episode, which I believe is a good idea, as long as you use it right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always good to have cash flow coming in with a part-time job as well, if you can have it.
Yeah. And the thing is, I can relate 100% to that as well. I have a full-time 9-to-5 job, yet I'm also running another business on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the cash flow, right? That's part of it. But that's why task lists and having a game plan for the day is very important. Because if you do have commitments like that, some people might have family and the rest of that, but you have to make sure you can block out time. And I hate actually saying it that way. You need to make sure that you set yourself up for success.
Mm-hmm.
Position yourself in a way that you can achieve everything you need to achieve. And when you have huge goals that you know you're not going to be able to achieve because of all these other commitments, breaking those tasks down into smaller increments is critical.
Critical.
For example, I have a 9-to-5, right? But then when I come home, I have a 7-to-2, 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. And what I do is while I have a task list for work, and then I have a task list for my business. And so without that task list, I may come home from a hard day of work tired. I don't want to do anything. I just want to eat, especially after I eat. I eat and I just want to sit on the couch,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
But if I have a very, very small task, or 2 or 3 or 5 items that I can do very quickly, for example, maybe do some customer research, read this blog article, write this post, schedule some content, any of these things, if I just break it down, it's a lot easier to come home and say, okay, now that I'm home, I need to knock out these 3 things, then I can sit down.
Exactly.
Right?
There you go.
Versus coming home, I'm really tired. I'll put it off till tomorrow. Sleep, wake up tomorrow, not charged up because you didn't do what you were supposed to do yesterday.
Putting things off, man, that's scary stuff, right? Because usually you'll put it off the next day, too. And I'm very guilty of this. And what I found for myself when it comes to putting things off, again, really comes down to taking any action at all is better than no action in the end, right? And that does relate to business as well. Like, if you do have an idea and you want to start something, basically, it's okay to have debt. We talked about it earlier. It's okay to maybe still have a part-time job or a full-time job. But if you have an idea and you want to create this into something, you have to come up with a way where if you take any action at all is better than no action. Think of the smallest step possible to get you going. If you want to create a business plan, you're like, I have no idea where to even start with that. Just open up a Word document. Just start writing anything. It doesn't have to be organized or structured. Just start writing.
Something, yeah.
Something is better than nothing.
Yeah. Here's another form of procrastination, and it's essentially perfectionism, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, I do creative designs and things like that sometimes, like maybe a blog post cover, and maybe the blog post hasn't been written yet. I haven't written it yet, but I said, you know what, I'm going to start with the cover instead. So I feel like I'm moving the needle forward, which I kind of am, but what happens is I might get too deep into it. I might redesign that cover 20 times, right? Ah, the shade of blue just isn't blue enough, or maybe I should move this page or that font size, and then I'll go through every single font on the entire, you know, document just to see which one looks better, and because I want to make it perfect. I just want to get it so perfect. And so I deep dive or like go down this like rabbit hole, right, of active procrastination, right? And really the whole meat of the entire thing is writing the blog article. Who cares if the cover exists if there's nothing to read underneath it?
Right.
Right. So what are your thoughts on perfectionism?
Ooh, man, yeah. So I would say I was a pretty big perfectionist most of my life. I've really worked on that a lot the last few years. And after building a business, I mean, it's hard to be a perfectionist if you're trying to build a business because it's so messy. Like, you're just going to make so many mistakes. There's a lot of trial and error. But I have experienced it before. And what I noticed for myself and for other people I have talked to them about is basically, when you're not getting something done, you're not taking any action at all, it's usually because you want it to be perfect. And if you take action and it's the wrong step or what you consider the wrong step, usually it's the right step because you're taking some sort of action. But you might perceive it as the wrong step. You're like, well, I'm not going to do it at all until I really plan this out for a very long time and make sure it's perfect. Then I will take one step forward. It's like, it's actually the other way around. You have to take steps forward now. It's going to be messy and probably wrong at first, but you're going to learn from it. And as you keep taking more steps, you're going to get better and better and better, hopefully striving for that perfection.
Right.
But you're going to get better along the way. You can't plan it out. It can't be perfect beforehand. You just have to go and take that first step.
Yeah, that truly is perfectionism at its best right there. It's literally going through the messy process in order to make it perfect. It's not going to be perfect. It might be perfect in your head, but I guarantee you once you start doing it, it won't be that way.
Yeah.
And so in order to achieve that level of perfection, you have to continuously refine, repeat,
exactly.
Refine, repeat, refine, repeat.
And keep making those mistakes, but those mistakes lead to successes. On a side note, I was talking to someone yesterday about this. We were talking about anxiety because I've had it pretty much all my life. It's really improved a lot because I've worked on it. But I was talking to her about it, and she said, yeah, in her mind, what she does is before she takes any action at all or does anything, she thinks of all the possible scenarios, all the possible outcomes, all the possible steps to get to those outcomes. She literally thinks of everything but doesn't take any action to make anything happen because she'll think of all the possible scenarios, and then she'll like, well, it's not going to work.
You're worn out by that time.
So I'm not
going to
do it.
Yeah.
You're like exhausted by that point.
Yeah.
Not just mentally, but physically exhausted because you've thought through everything so much. And she said she's very self-aware. She said it comes back to my she really wants to have control.
Mm.
And so when you want to have control all the time, you're trying to control the outcome, control all the possible scenarios before it even takes place.
Yeah.
And so it leads to a lot of anxiety for her.
That, you know, that's a, I can relate to that 100%. I have anxiety as well, and I've been working on that in multiple different ways. One of those things is to continuously be present.
That's
right?
A huge one.
Being present and not being, so how your friend is consumed in her mind in all these scenarios.
She's not there.
You can imagine her, she's probably sitting on the couch for an hour, just like,
but she's not on the couch.
Yeah, you're not there, right?
She's not. She's in the future already, right, where something hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. And then you kind of start getting this whole, you know, this whole control. I want to have control of this idea, which I can spiral as many different ways as possible.
Yeah.
But if you're present and you're thinking, wow, look, I'm actually sitting on this couch right now. I'm drinking this glass of water right here.
Mm-hmm.
I have control over this moment.
This moment.
I have control.
This moment.
And those are the things that you got to consider to sort of break that anxiety. Another thing, I'm also like your friend as well. I would catch myself, you know, drifting and thinking about all the scenarios that could possibly happen, which is not a bad thing. But I actually listened to a podcast episode by Tim Ferriss, and what he was talking about was I think it's called fear finding. Mm. Fear finding it is, and what that is when you have an idea. And obviously you have like the perfect outcome, right? You know what you want to achieve. There's that part. But then there's also the opposite of that. So think of literally the worst possible outcome that could ever, ever happen if your idea went wrong. The worst one. Think about the best one that's your goal and the worst one. And once you think about the worst one, then write down a couple things about that worst one. Think about, okay, if this was the scenario, forget the good one. If this was the scenario that I was in, what would I do, right?
Mm.
And write down, it can be very vague, very open-ended, but write down a couple things. Okay, let's say if I lost my job, right? So where would I live, right? How would I eat? Okay, where would I, what's my situation for transportation, right? What am I wearing? Think about those things and then answer those questions for yourself, right? Very high level, right? Maybe I can move in with my brother and maybe, you know, I can, well, I have clothes already, you know, I don't need a car because it's public transport. I can walk, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Answer those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Get that out of the way. Then go back to the real objective and start working on that because you've already assessed the worst case.
Hmm.
And if anything goes wrong, it's not going to be any worse than what I just assessed.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, this is what I do. So it kind of gives you that relief or that freedom to stop thinking about the bad thing. Because you do that up front.
Yeah.
Think about the worst thing up
front. Or all the different steps in between. There's only two, really.
Right.
It's like you focus on both the worst and just the best.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And because everything else in between can go either way, right? That's where it's messy. It's like spaghetti. You never know how things are going to work out in between.
That's so funny you mentioned that. That's exactly what her therapist told her to do. That's literally what she said.
Wow. I think I need a job now. You guys got to start paying me for this stuff.
That was a solution to her problem. She said that's, and then she started doing that more, and it's really helped with her anxiety. She had a lot of panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And this has really helped her a lot with that, where she just thinks of the best case scenario and the worst case scenario. And like you said, thinking about what you would do if the worst case actually happened.
Yeah.
And it's like when you do that, it does alleviate a lot of those fears because there's not a lot of in between. It's just really, okay, well, if this really did happen, I know what I have to do now.
I know what I do, right.
Yeah.
And then it also gives you a way to kind of gate things as well. So it's like, you know, now that you have this worst case scenario task list, as you're progressing through your idea, when things are starting to go wrong or opportunities present themselves, you can start relating, okay, should I start taking action on that? Is this worst scenario coming closer?
Mm-hmm.
What actions can I take in advance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, I think a lot of times when we procrastinate due to anxiety, it's we always think of, well, if it doesn't go right, then it's like a switch just flipped and, oh my God, now I'm in this scenario right here.
Yeah,
but you can also mitigate that a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that might be while you're working on this idea, that's a great idea, and one of your worst case scenarios is, I don't know how I'd pay for my rent. Well, while you're working on your idea, you might start thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe I should also practice my saving habits and my spending
mm-hmm.
habits.
Mm-hmm.
In the event that this was to happen,
yep.
I'm already going to be financially savvy.
Precautions.
So,
yeah.
And that kind of stuff then kind of like destroys, right? This bad scenario of happen, this negative idea, all these things that could go wrong. You can actually start proactively working on those things to then mitigate the chances
yes.
of that thing happening.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
Not only are you progressing on your idea, but you're also mitigating your risk.
Definitely, yeah, and you should definitely be doing that along the way. Yeah, don't just, and that's another thing I would like to just touch on is that, yeah, you might be procrastinating, but some people, you have such full belief in what you are trying to do, which is amazing, and you're just so gung-ho, and you only see that, But yeah, there, it is always wise to think about, you know, if it didn't work, if it did not, always have some sort of precautions in place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. And I think a lot of all that is also with procrastination. It's also, it also can be diminished by having a sense of satisfaction, right? So I'll ask you a question. How do you know when you've had a productive day?
Yeah, great question. Let's see. Well, usually it comes back to my task list that I write the night before, if I'm able to complete all of it. By this point, I've been self-employed for so long now. When I first started, I would have like 100 things on my list, and I'd be like, all right, I'm going to get all that done today. Super easy. Yeah, my brother did that same thing. But like, I knew over time, I was like, after I've had plenty of days of doing this, I knew what was a good amount of things to put on my list to actually reasonably get done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that now. And so that really is a measure of my productive day, because I know what I'm capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So if I put those things on my list the night before, and the next day I accomplish them, I know that's a productive day, because I've measured it out to a point for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I know, okay, I accomplished this many tasks, and they're big enough tasks. Like, okay, that was a good day for me.
Yeah.
How
absolutely.
About you?
Yeah, same thing. I do the task list thing with 3 to 5 items on it, because I've figured out that that's,
yeah, that's what your works number, for me. Yeah.
But within my task list, I also try to diversify it, right? So one thing could be paying for a parking ticket. The other thing could be writing an email. I do different things. That way I have that flexibility to wander.
Sure.
But still move the needle forward. These are things that I need to actually do. And they're also bite-sized things. Things that I can accomplish. Some of them are going to be very quick. Some of them are going to take a little bit longer. But it's all about understanding yourself and that momentum. And there was a really good quote that I read the other day that said, if you want to end your day feeling satisfied, you have to wake up each morning with a sense of determination, right? So if you wake up in the morning and you don't know what you're going to do, you're just going to kind of wander through the day.
I've had those days.
Yeah, chances are you're probably going to feel that way at the end of the day as well, right? You did a whole bunch of stuff, but you weren't measuring anything. You were just kind of going with the flow. You're just, you know, floating around. But if you wake up and you say, I have these 3 things to do, you wake up with a mission, right? And then when you complete that mission, you come back home and say, you know what? That was a good day. I did everything I wanted to do. I feel great, right? Matter of fact, I have more energy now. What else can I do?
Right. That's really good. Yeah, you're starting your day off on the right note, really. Wow, amazing episode. I really liked what you said about disrupting your patterns throughout the day, especially moving things around in your own apartment. Making small changes like that can disrupt patterns and potentially disrupt other ways where you're actually procrastinating way too much, right?
Absolutely.
So that actually really resonated with me. So in the next episode, we're going to be talking about things to consider before starting your online business and the one thing that'll make or break your success. I'm Nathan Garrett, your digital dynamo. You can find me at nathangarrett.net.
And I'm Lante Tacona, your collaboration connoisseur. You can connect with me on LinkedIn at LANTEI.
All right. Thanks for listening.